So good evening, everyone. This evening we'll have a little Dharma talk and then some discussion. And if you want to just stay in your practice to sort of receive this, what I want to talk about this evening is actually by special request. One of our Sangha members requested a talk about the four Bodhisattva vows. It is something that we have talked about before and certainly worth revisiting again and again. So this evening, I'm going to read them through for you and then take a little time on each one, and then we'll open it up to talk so that each of us can share from our own perspective what they may mean to us. Beings are numberless. I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. The Buddha way is unsurpassable. I vow to embody it. Beings are numberless seems rather self-evident in a way. We can count the items in our just in the room that we're in and probably come to thousands, depending on how small we decide to divide them. Everything can be broken down into constituent parts, including the universe. And in breaking it down, we can count to infinity. The idea, the vow, that we will free all beings can sound quite impossible, and that's because it is. There is no way that we can free all beings from suffering. So why do we make this vow? What is it then? You know, I think about just trying to free myself from all forms of suffering and find it utterly impossible. I get sick. I grow older. I will die. I will lose everybody I love. Life includes loss, and this makes us sad unless we're made of stone. So there's some amount of suffering that's involved in all life. Still, there's something big happening in this vow, the way it touches our heart. I vow to free all beings from suffering. I vow to practice a compassionate life. I vow to care for all beings. I vow to care even for the suffering that's in my own heart. With a love and openness and tenderness, I vow to bear witness to it. I vow to see it. I vow to see you. I vow to see your joy and your sorrow as they arise, as you share them with me, if you share them with me, to be a witness to these things. And in its own way, we say that awareness is its own action. There is something in this compassionate touching of our sorrow, of our suffering, that is profoundly transformative. For me, when I run from my suffering, that is when I truly suffer. But when I allow it into my heart, there is some kind of freedom there. I'm no longer trying to control circumstances. Rather, I let it in. I let my heart break. And there is freedom. I am free to be what I already am. You must have experienced this when someone else did this for you as a favor. You showed up and you were suffering, and they said, tell me about your suffering. And you did. And in telling them, you found yourself liberated to be what you already are. And in some sense, this bearing witness, this open, compassionate stance toward your suffering saved you. We're practicing this form of liberation, of allowing all beings to be exactly as they are and to bear witness to their suffering with great compassion. Someone else's suffering may not be my own, and yet I can welcome it into my life. Or I can cast it away and pretend it's not there. That denial is one of the most painful things that we can do to somebody who is suffering. But that warm acceptance of their suffering, the listening, the receiving, is very healing. And of course, sometimes there are also ways that we can respond. We don't always have this in our power, but sometimes we do. We have it in our power to respond to the causes and conditions that are generating suffering and to help alleviate those causes and conditions. And in this way, we also take action in the world to free all beings from suffering. Of course, the vow, if you're counting beings up, the vow, of course, is greater than anything we can ever attain, but it touches our own heart and it transforms our own heart. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Delusions are inexhaustible. Thought after thought after thought, arising and arising and arising in these minds. I love that this vow simply acknowledges that. Sometimes we imagine that to practice Buddhism well, we need to stop thinking. At that point, we may as well be dead. There'd be no way for us to function in the world. We wouldn't know what to do when we felt hungry. So our thoughts are necessary. They save us too. And our thoughts are always based on some amount of delusion, because our thoughts are not reality itself. Even when I think of the meal that I'm going to make, the one I end up making and tasting is not the one that I thought of. It's always unique in its own way, and I can never predict perfectly what it will be. Maybe I can come close, but it is not the thing itself. Our thoughts are conceptual maps that represent the world, but they are not the world itself. Often we get lost in our thoughts. So this is simply an acknowledgement that thinking is thinking. To see thoughts not as the reality itself, but as our notions about reality, as representations of reality. They are useful, they are helpful, and if we believe in them more than we believe in what appears to us moment after moment, if we hold rigidly to our conceptions, we suffer, because everything changes. Think of conceptions we have of ourselves. If I try to persist as the same entity over time, I inevitably disappoint myself, because I'm changing every moment, my feelings, my body, even my thoughts. What's interesting about this vow is that we vow to end our delusions. Now, there's another aspect to this. Sometimes I just have ideas that don't even represent what's really going on in reality. They're just wrong. This is an important acknowledgement, to acknowledge when I'm wrong, to allow my thoughts to be incorrect, to be humble enough to be corrected. But that's not really what this is saying. This vow, in a way, points out something that already happens. We don't even need to make this happen. I don't have to vow to end my thoughts. When I'm practicing, I see that thoughts come and they go. They do that on their own. All I need to do is let that happen. Let thoughts arise. Let them pass. This is our practice, not to be attached to the thinking mind, to the thoughts of the mind, to any particular idea. In other words, to remain open to possibility, and moment after moment to allow life to show up in its new form. Because in this arriving of life, there is such an energetic quality. Life itself is more beautiful than anything that I can think. Thoughts are a part of life, and they're beautiful in their own way. And there is more. So we're learning to open the hand of thought, to not grasp on to thoughts and hold on to them, but simply to let them show up and do their dance and then move on their way very naturally. To not be attached to thinking is how we end our delusions. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Again, this possibility here of encountering each moment exactly as it is. How often do I find myself wishing that this moment were different? Wishing on some level that my life were not what it is in the moment. Wouldn't it be better if I had things this way, I had things that way? So this is a willingness to turn toward things exactly as they are. There's a kind of infinite capacity for us to do this as well. Because when things are not the way we wish they were, one of the things that we can allow to be present is our desire for things to be other than they are. That too is a Dharma gate. But there's a subtle difference, isn't there, between noticing that it's present and allowing it to be present and observing this and being utterly convinced that it is true and getting swept away in our thinking, which, of course, eclipses reality, eclipses the sound of the birds in the trees, eclipses the wind blowing through the room, just shuts it all out. So in each moment, it's a recognition of possibility to say that Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. I vow to see each moment of my life as my life, as what is here now, to open to each moment of my life just as it is. The Buddha way is unsurpassable. I vow to embody it. There are different translations of all these vows, but this is a celebratory statement. So often in Buddhism, they talk about impermanence and no self and no, 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 no. Sometimes it can sound like Buddhism is this negative experience, but not at all. This is our way of letting go of our delusions so that we can open up to the remarkable mystery of this moment. This moment, just as it is the koan, is our practice. I vow to embody it. It is unsurpassable. This moment is beautiful beyond measure. This body in which this consciousness resides, this me, as it manifests, I am the embodiment of a Buddha, and you are the embodiment of Buddha, the embodied Buddha, physically manifesting right now in this world. You are the Buddha way. The Buddha way is unsurpassable. I vow to embody it. This is a very concretizing, if you will, kind of vow, right? In this moment, the universe is manifesting in its miraculous oneness. I vow to embody it in my particularity as I am, in this particular form. This is where emptiness and form are one. Each of us is actually a unique embodiment of the infinite principle. Each of us is a particular form of emptiness. And where do we see that emptiness and form are in fact not separate at all, but in this moment as ourselves? There is no other place to recognize the truth than right here, right now, as ourselves. As this person who I may think of as being broken and deficient. As this person who I may think of as being somehow alone or separate or lacking. I am the embodiment of the Buddha way. You are the embodiment of the Buddha way. This is a vow to be awake to our true nature, moment after moment, to realize that each and every one of us is an embodiment of emptiness, an embodiment of interwoven connectedness, an embodiment of aliveness, manifesting in its wonderful, joyous, mysterious way. The four Bodhisattva vows. Beings are numberless. I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. The Buddha way is unsurpassable. I vow to embody it.